Chapter 5. Does Not Change. But no. We could. Hell no. Fine, I could. Are you trying to get your brother to kill me? Izuna is 24 years old, a terror on the battlefield, wielder of the Mangekyo Sharingan, and scourge of the Uchiha clan's enemies. So he doesn't pout. But he does allow himself to frown, very meaningfully, at Hikaku as they make their weary way back into the compound. "You have no soul, you unromantic monster," he complains. Hikaku, 6 years younger, but always devastatingly logical, simply rolls his eyes and waves to the guards as they pass. "Whatever," he sighs. "You want romance? Fine. How's this? If it's meant to be, I'm sure she'll miraculously appear before you without you having to go harrying off into the woods that are probably full of enemies, alone, at night. There, you're welcome." As he told Tobirama, Izuna believes in fate and balance and destiny. And that moment when his eyes met the kunoichi's and every thought failed to matter in the face of a fierce amber gaze and a wild spirit, that was clearly fate. And of course, given that Izuna is a proactive, motivated individual, he had absolutely no compunctions about just helping fate along a little more, helping it move faster. Besides, given the way she moved, only someone with very good reflexes and an even better grasp of the Sharingan is going to be able to catch her. She caught Izuna off guard once. It's not going to happen again. Before he can respond to Hikaku's misguided attempt to help, though, which is what Izuna will magnanimously choose to believe that was, rather than base sarcasm, one of the clan's retainers stops them, bowing politely to Izuna and murmuring, "Your brother wishes to see you in the diplomat's quarters as soon as possible, sir." Izuna frowns a little, even as he changes directions. Diplomat's quarters is a polite way of saying luxurious cell. It's a small house, heavily guarded and set apart from the rest of the clan, with seals to prevent anyone within from using chakra. Actual guests take guest quarters. Those who can't be trusted go there. The only person that Izuna knows who would be a suitable occupant is Tobirama. And for Madara to be moving him there, especially with the attacks along the road, means something must have happened to prove the Senju's sincerity. Well, something more than letting them lock him in a cell to begin with. Izuna grimaces faintly, pressing a hand over his side. He has first-hand experience with just how cunning Tobirama can be when he puts his mind to it. Honestly, he doesn't doubt in the slightest that the Senju is only with them because he hasn't cared to escape. Still, for Madara to be moving things forward this quickly is a bit of a surprise. While one can't quite say he's cautious, he is a careful leader. And Izuna can't imagine that every last one of the Senju will be happy seeking peace, no matter how swiftly that fool Hashirama jumps on the idea. The Uchiha are tired of war, but the Senju have always been relentless. Izuna might admire them for it, but they're powerful. Most clans specialize in one form of fighting, and that makes them predictable, straightforward to counter, even if it's not easy. The Senju, on the other hand, well, they're called the Clan with 1,000 Skills for a reason. And regardless of Izuna's pride in both the Sharingan and his clan, he knows that eventually the Uchiha are going to be outmatched. It's simple logic. Not every Uchiha awakens the Sharingan, and once they do, it requires more training, more time, while the Senju choose what they're best at and stick with it until they're masters. It makes him angry, makes him scared. This is a war, a fight for survival, and the Uchiha are trying to push their way to the top of a steep slope, sliding back 2 steps for every one they take forward. Peace might be the end of them if the Senju go back on their word. Madara says they won't, but then Madara is a dreamer. For all his cynicism, he wants to see the best in people, in situations. He has to believe that peace is possible. Otherwise, his dream will come to nothing. It might be, Izuna thinks of what Tobirama said in prison the other day, of wheels knocked loose and ready to be made anew, and hopes, somewhere deep down inside of himself, that it's possible. You should stop thinking so hard, Hikaku says dryly, catching his arm and steering him through a doorway he could swear was a foot wider just a moment ago. Any more and your head's gonna start smoking. Hikaku is smart, steady. People love him for his dependability and his ability to see straight to the heart of matters, regardless of him still being a teenager. A little abruptly, Izuna halts, dragging the other Uchiha to a stop with him, and asks, "Do you want peace with the Senju?" It gets him a long, flat look from the younger man before Hikaku sighs, reaching up to tug on his short ponytail. "I'm not the best person to ask that of," he says wearily. "I lost my family," he doesn't finish. But Izuna remembers. In one battle, Hikaku lost both parents, and then barely a month later lost his uncle as well. "That's why I'm asking," Izuna says quietly, turning to face him. "If anyone's opinion should count, it's the people who have lost the most." Hikaku hesitates, turning the matter over, and then shakes his head. "I don't know. To have a chance to stop fighting, to keep more people from dying, I'd take it, I think. We keep seeing the Senju as monsters, inhuman, but what Senju Tobirama did, coming here and saving you, a monster wouldn't have risked it. There are a lot of people in the clan who are looking at the Senju in a new light after that. Hard not to, really. He thought he'd die, and to keep the fighting from getting worse, he came anyway." A brief pause, and then he looks up to meet Izuna's eyes, steady but with an undercurrent of emotion that Izuna can't quite pick out. "It was easy to hate him, and all the other Senju, when he killed you, Izuna. How am I supposed to feel after he risked his life to save you? And what if the other Senju are like that too?" "That," Izuna supposes as he starts walking again, "is the crux of the matter. Hating a masked, faceless enemy is simple. To hate someone who did something selfless and noble, that's a lot more complicated." The Daimyo's soldiers are taught to dehumanize the enemy, to make them easier to kill. Shinobi have no such luxury. Their targets are very human, and they never allow themselves to forget that. But it's easy to take a trait that's offensive, like the Senju's arrogance, and apply it to the entire clan, exaggerate and inflate until that's their only trait. Madara spoke of Tobirama on his knees, ready to die for the sake of quelling Madara's hatred, and Izuna can't imagine anything less arrogant. It puts things back in perspective a bit. He doesn't want it to. Hatred is easy, simple, but the man he saw in that cell, the blunt, straightforward man he spoke to, is nothing like the cold, arrogant bastard he's faced time and again on a battlefield. He can still draw a line between the two, but it's harder to loathe an enemy who saved him, harder to loathe an enemy who rolled his eyes at him, who made a face at getting his fingers dirty eating with his hand, who's so undeniably human, with more to him than just arrogance. Izuna sighs, shaking himself out of his thoughts, as he nods to the guards at the edge of the small house. More guards than he expected, even with Madara's paranoia, which makes him curious. Surely Madara knows as well as he does that Tobirama could escape if he truly wanted to, the same way Madara or Izuna himself could, were it the Senju holding them. "You're coming?" he asks Hikaku distractedly, making for the main door. Hikaku rolls his eyes. "Take it up with your brother," he says blandly, and Izuna fixes him with a narrow look. That means Hikaku is his guard. And the next time they spar, Izuna is going to toss Madara into the pond and hold him under. The overprotective bastard. With a low growl, Izuna stalks up to the door and slides it open with more force than is strictly necessary, preparing to find his brother and skin him, regardless of witnesses and little things like alibis and plausible deniability. Then he gets his first glimpse of the house's occupants and stops short, every bit of brain power deserting him with a nearly audible whoosh. Seated on a cushion, Tobirama looks up at him and arches a brow, but keeps most of his attention on his outstretched arm and the woman bandaging it. A woman with long brown hair, sharp features, and a ragged, thigh-length dress over wrappings. The Naginata is gone, as is her fury, but it's undeniably the same Kunoichi from the forest. Izuna slams the door shut and takes three rapid steps back. There's a long moment of silence, and then Hikaku says dryly, "Izuna, doors lead in." My heart wasn't prepared," Izuna protests, one hand flying to his face. He swipes over it, checking for conspicuous smears of mud, and then rakes his fingers through his hair. "How do I look?" Hikaku is side-eyeing him in that particular judgmental way again. "Like you've spent the last 6 hours on patrol," he offers blandly, "and got dumped on your ass a few times." "It was just the once," Izuna hisses. But before he can say more, the door slides open and his elder brother steps out, looking at him like he has three heads. "Izuna?" he asks carefully. "Is everything all right?"
"You caught her?"
Izuna demands immediately, pouncing on the subject. "Who is she? Where is she from? How did you catch her?" Madara opens his mouth to answer, but before he can, the Kunoichi appears behind him in the doorway. "First off," she says sharply, "she can hear you. And second, I surrendered." The glance Madara gives her is dubious and a little offended.
"I would say I caught you,"
he counters stiffly. She snorts.
"You never laid a hand on me, Uchiha. Believe me, I surrendered."
Her gaze shifts to Izuna, and the cool expression turns into a sharp-edged smirk as she crosses her arms.
"Little Uchiha, how's your head?"
Izuna honestly tries not to stare, but, well, her dress is short and sleeveless, and her arms are lean but muscled. Her hair is thick, falling around her like a mink brown coat, and, curves, made very obvious by the way she has her arms folded under her breasts. He can't remember the last time he saw someone quite that appealing, and combining with the memory of her effortless speed and power, he's lost. Goodbye, logic. And he won't miss it at all.
"You hit hard," he manages, after a moment of trying to scrape syllables together.
Wow. That makes her smile, surprised and pleased.
"You took it well,"
she answers slyly, then turns on her heel and heads back towards Tobirama, who's attempting to finish rebandaging his arms alone.
"Stop that, little cousin, or my hand might slip and leave you looking like a wrapped gift."
Tobirama rolls his eyes, but hands the roll of cloth over without protest.
"Like the time your hand slipped making Hashirama's tea?" he asks, desert dry.
The Kunoichi laughs, low and throaty, and sinks gracefully to her knees. Izuna tries not to stare at muscular thighs and the pale lines of old scars, their exchange hardly even registering.
"Well," she counters, "he's never asked me to make it for him again, so I'd count that as a success, wouldn't you?"
Tobirama looks slightly sour.
"No, because now he asks me, Toka."
"Toka.
Toka.
Izuna knows that name."
"Senju, Toka?"
he squeaks,
because he remembers meeting the Kunoichi in question on the battlefield. Never directly. It was always Tobirama who faced him. But the only image in his head is of a genderless figure in shapeless armor, hair tied up and weapon in hand, her genjutsu ability almost on par with the Sharingan. The Kunoichi glances over at him, brow lifting, then ties off the bandage and sits back. Carefully, she gathers her hair in her hands, twisting it into a tight coil, and then loops it up in a mimicry of a topknot. "Butter?" she questions, sounding amused.
Izuna is entirely speechless. He can see it now. But like overlapping images, he can also see the wild-looking woman who attacked them on the road.
"Uh-huh," he manages, a little dazed, and glances at his brother. Madara has his face in his hands. And really, that's a touch of melodrama that is entirely unappreciated. Izuna huffs at him, ignores the quiet snort from Hikaku, and lifts his chin haughtily. Slipping his sandals off, he steps past his brother and into the house, and takes a breath. Well, Madara wants them to give peace a try. There are still a few doubts spinning through Izuna's mind, but the Uchiha do have leverage right now, enough to put them at an advantage. Holding Senju Tobirama and Senju Toka, second and third ranked in the clan respectively, and close family to the clan head, is no small matter. This whole thing is going to go through no matter what entirely reasonable hesitations Izuna expresses, so he might as well make the best of it. Besides, with motivation that looks like that, Izuna is more than willing to try seducing the enemy to the side of good, no matter how many plays and novels have turned it into a trite plot device. Izuna is a shinobi. He is totally willing to make the best of a bad situation. "So," he says, voice bright, "did you need anything? Anything at all? I know being locked up like this must be pretty boring." Toka raises a brow and tilts her head, and her pale eyes flicker over him, considering. She leans back a little, folding her arms again, and asks,
"It is, a bit. So, what do the Uchiha do for fun?"
Apparently, he's not the only one tentatively interested. Izuna grins and offers her a hand. "I can show you the garden," he suggests. And, when Madara makes a noise, rolls his eyes and adds pointedly, "Just outside the door, still within the seals, with Hikaku and all the guards watching, because I am not helpless." With a soft huff, Toka reaches up, but instead of taking his hand, she locks her fingers in the collar of his robe and yanks him down.
"Don't," she warns sharply, eyes narrowed. "Think that I need chakra to crush your skull like a melon, Uchiha."
With an effort, Izuna drags his eyes up from the corded muscles of her bicep and through the fog in his brain, just barely manages.
"Uh-huh."
One perfect eyebrow rises, and Toka lets him go.
"Hmm,"
is her thoughtful response, and then she decisively drops her hand into Izuna's.
"Lead the way," she orders,
a corner of her darkly painted mouth curling. Without hesitation, Izuna pulls her to her feet and ushers her out the door. Hikaku might be snickering in the background. Izuna benevolently deigns to ignore him. Madara looks incredibly long-suffering as the door slides shut behind their relatives. And regardless of the situation, Tobirama can't help but laugh a little.
"I had my expectations about them meeting, but that wasn't quite it," he admits dryly,
glancing out of one of the wide windows to watch the pair disappear into the orderly garden.
"Though Toka has never cared much for expectations."
Despite everything, despite the sense of danger that still itches along his spine, Tobirama is glad to see his cousin. He had felt stranded, adrift, with only enemies to connect him to his clan. And to have her appear out of the shadows of the prison was an unlooked-for blessing. reckless, ridiculous, practically suicidal to the point where he could strangle her for it, but she came for him. No matter how many scenarios he plotted out before he left, that wasn't one of them. Then again, in every one of those scenarios, he had pictured Hashirama breaking the news to her long after he had died. He'd underestimated her ability to see through him, to realize something was wrong, and it annoys him faintly. He'd prefer to think he's good at reading people, but apparently that's not as true as he would like. "I suppose it's a step in the right direction, where a truce is concerned," Madara says, though he sounds annoyed as well. A pause, and then he adds, aggrieved, "Izuna has a worrying weakness for strong women." The statement makes Tobirama arch a brow, even as he turns away from the view to give his cousin privacy. Whether for murdering Izuna when he says something to provoke her, or for something else, he can't quite predict. "A match made in heaven, then," he says, a little wry. "Toka always swore she'd never marry until she found a man who met her standards." Madara hesitates for a long moment, clearly debating whether he wants to know, and then asks warily, "Standards?" Tobirama gives him a faint smirk. "Someone she could punch in the face, and he'd just compliment her on her form." Judging by the grimace Madara is wearing, that's rather closer to the truth of the situation than he'd like. With a sigh, he sinks down on the other side of the low table, refilling his cup of tea, and then takes a long swallow. Tobirama watches him carefully, looking for body language to give away his thoughts. But there's little to go on. Madara is, as ever, a mystery to him. He's always confused Tobirama a little. The man is ferocious in defense of his clan, but has dreams to equal Hashirama's. Tireless in keeping the Uchiha strong, even as the war drags on, but ready to throw it all away for his brother's sake. If Hashirama is a pacifist at heart, Tobirama thinks Madara must be a protector, ready to fight to the death in defense of what's dear to him. Which is a little disconcerting, because Tobirama would have said nearly the same of himself, and to see that now reflected in Madara throws him a little. There's a soft clink as Madara sets his cup down again, and when Tobirama glances up at him, Madara catches his gaze and says bluntly, "In the cell, you said you didn't want peace." "I said I didn't know it," Tobirama corrects, not about to let the Uchiha twist his words. "No one in this time does. The only ones who can see it are those like you and my brother. I can hardly picture what he speaks of sometimes. An end to the fighting I can believe in, because that will be treaties and contracts and laws. But everything that comes with that, I've never seen it, and I can't imagine it." At the mention of Hashirama, Madara's expression tightens, and he looks down at the tabletop, appearing almost pained. There's a long pause, and then Madara sighs, raking a hand through his wild hair. "You also said you did this for your brother." His brother, who hasn't come. Tobirama expected it, but it aches a little, deep down in his chest. Logically, he knows that the Senju clan head walking right up to the Uchiha's doorstep would mean death and a quick descent into war, but Toka came. She left everything behind and came to find him, not even knowing if he was alive. She risked her life to find his body. And though he knows Hashirama has too many people depending on him to do the same, taking a breath, Tobirama crushes down that selfish little part of him, buries it deep and locks it away, and answers evenly, "If you heard that, then you heard my reasoning as well. It hasn't changed." Madara's eyes pin him in place, and even without the Sharingan spinning in them, they're still hard and intense. "You'll break his heart," he says quietly. "You are brothers." How ironic. coming from this man who would have been so much better a brother to Hashirama than Tobirama can even dream of being. He looks away, fixing eyes on the top of the wall just visible above the maples in the garden, and answers, "I don't doubt my brother loves me, Madara. I have never doubted that." Just how much, though, he'll never say aloud. "It was not just for him alone. To turn your anger from my clan as a whole, to save the lives of those who would meet you in battle, that was worth facing you, even if you would have killed me." A breath, slow and controlled, and he finally meets that intent black gaze, not allowing himself to waver. Perhaps Hashirama refuses to see it, but everything equalizes eventually. Had I not struck at Izuna, he would have killed me. Had I not surrendered to you when I did, had Izuna died, I have no doubt that you would have tried to kill me eventually. Those who got in your way would have died as well. I couldn't allow that when it was in my power to change it. My actions lost me Hashirama's fondness, even if he still loved me. And perhaps it's selfish, but I didn't want to look into my brother's eyes and see only regret. This was a way to fix it. It's not quite Izuna's reasoning. Circles and cycles held in balance by some cosmic power. Tobirama doesn't believe in such things, but he knows that every action causes a reaction, that for everything gained or lost, there is an equal and opposite return. It's logic, fact, and if one keeps that factor in mind, the course of events is simple enough to predict. There are always variables, but the base remains regardless. Then Madara says, very quietly, "I'm going to break his nose." "What?" "What?" Tobirama demands, bewildered, as he rises to his feet. The stupidity of it has his temper already fraying. "My brother is not at fault in this." Madara rises to match him, even though he looks unimpressed with the display. "Your family," he insists, as though Tobirama is the stupid one for not seeing it. "Imagine the situation reversed. What would you do if you found out Hashirama sacrificed himself because of your words?" Tobirama refuses to answer that, because he can see very well where the question will lead. "Irrelevant," he counters. "My brother and I are different people, with different values and different responsibilities. It would be foolish to lead the Senju into war over revenge. It would change nothing and only result in more deaths. Hashirama would never do such a thing." "But he should," Madara snaps, his own temper clearly snapping. "He should do something. To let his little brother die is wrong." "It was my choice," Tobirama says, cold and precise, and hopes that it will be enough to make Madara drop the subject. He doesn't expect much, though. Madara is nothing if not doggedly determined. "I am your enemy, Uchiha. I have no need for your protection." Madara's mouth tightens into a grim slash. "Maybe," he allows, though he doesn't sound as though he believes it. "You're very nearly your brother's equal on the battlefield. Were we there, I wouldn't hesitate to agree. But he said something to you that made you think the only way to make him love you was to die. I would sooner fall on my blade than do something like that to my little brother. You'll excuse me if I don't let it slide in a friend." Tobirama makes a sound of wordless frustration because Madara doesn't see. "I am not Izuna," he snaps. "Whether you are reacting like this on principle or because it offends you personally, I would remind you that we are different people. Keep your convictions. I want no part in them." "Obviously," Madara says coolly, "you do. Otherwise, this little suicide trip wouldn't have occurred to you, Tobirama. You would have let yourself be killed to make your brother happy. How am I supposed to disregard that?" "By remembering that I almost killed your brother," Tobirama growls, entirely exasperated and bordering on true anger. "I am not a victim, I am not blameless, and I do not count myself as such.
Hashirama's dream encompasses everyone, and that far outweighs one life. You also healed my brother, though it would gain you nothing.
Madara takes a step to the side, around the table, and faces Tobirama fully. They're of a height, even if Madara is broader and more muscular. And when Madara holds his gaze, Tobirama finds he can't quite force himself to look away again. You tried to send your cousin away when she came to rescue you. Maybe you don't see it, but I do. You think death is the only way to redeem yourself to Hashirama, which means he said something or did something to make you feel that way. What is it?
It's easy to forget that Madara is a genius in his own right, the best in his clan, capable of fighting Hashirama himself to a standstill. No one else in the world can manage such a thing. And Madara is clever, quick. He notices more than Tobirama would like, even if he can't grasp the point Tobirama is trying to make.
He said nothing that was not true, Tobirama insists, unwilling to be moved from this opinion. It was my decision. He knew nothing of it, and had Toka done as I expected, he wouldn't have for a week. Everything would have been easier.
Losing a brother is never easy, Madara says, low and sharp. If you can't realize that, you and Hashirama are not the only ones who have lost siblings. Tobirama growls, temper snapping as he takes a threatening step towards the other man.
I know the grief of it as well as you do, but I am a shinobi. I will act as I must for the good of my clan, and to have you by his side seeking peace is best for Hashirama. He will...
He cuts himself off sharply, cursing himself for the loss of composure. But by the narrowing of Madara's eyes, he can guess the end of that sentence.
He'll be fine, Madara finishes for him, looking grim.
If you think that, Tobirama, then clearly Hashirama did something to make you feel that way. And as a brother, I can't find that anything but unacceptable. He turns sharply on his heel and stalks out of the room, collecting his sandals, and then sliding the door shut behind him with careful restraint. Alone in the quiet house, Tobirama breathes out, slow and careful, and rubs his hands wearily over his face. The contrast between Madara and Hashirama is jarring, and it makes him envious, if just a little, of the easy camaraderie between Madara and Izuna. He and Hashirama have something similar, of course, but not such simple friendship. Love, of course, because Tobirama loves Hashirama and knows that regard is returned, if differently. But they aren't friends like the Uchiha brothers. They're too different, and for all that they were raised together, they were raised apart as well. Hashirama was their father's heir, but Tobirama was his perfect soldier, and Tobirama never protested, has never regretted anything except the difference in ideals that stands between himself and Hashirama. What he is now suits him, and he wouldn't change it. But he wonders, sometimes, what it would be like, how it would feel to have every ounce of his brother's love and trust, even though Tobirama has done little to earn them in reality. He thinks of Itama again, bright and warm and steady, soft-hearted and better at healing than killing, and feels the ache in his chest redouble. Hashirama was not the only one who lost siblings. Tobirama loved all of his brothers, would have done anything for them, and their deaths were impossibly hard to bear. If it were possible to give his own life to bring one of them back, Tobirama would without a moment's hesitation or regret. Inhale. Exhale. That's a fantasy. It has no bearing on reality, and Tobirama dismisses it, slowly sinking back down to his knees before the table. The bandages on his arms itch over the healing cuts, but the irritation is ignorable, like the annoyance of his hair falling into his eyes. More immediate is the touch of worry over what Madara will do, if he'll actually carry out his threat.
More than once, Tobirama has been tempted to break his brother's nose himself, mostly when woken early, without tea, for yet another of Hashirama's mad schemes that, without fail, always end in disaster. But he still hopes Madara won't. After all, he wants their clans to find peace. And though Hashirama will, doubtless, not hold it against his best friend, some of the Senju will definitely take offense. Troublesome. Tobirama rubs the bridge of his nose and restrains an aggravated sigh. Why can't everyone just be logical? Madara recognizes that he's being stupid and aggressive and far too sensitive of a matter that only peripherally concerns him, even as he slams into his study with a fit of pique brewing beneath his skin. But he can't help it. Tobirama is a Senju, is an enemy right now, but... But Madara looks at him and sees his face in the shadowed cell. Hears, "He values peace and I stole his chance at it." Blame, self-directed, and he can't help but wonder if Hashirama blamed Tobirama too. Madara was furious when Tobirama struck Izuna down, filled with rage and the intent to kill and desire for nothing less than Tobirama's mangled body at his feet. But they're shinobi. Death is expected, no matter how heartrending. And rationally, Madara knows that it was a fight to the end, with only one winner possible. That Tobirama won is down to his superior speed and jutsus. Had Izuna won, it would have been the same for him. If Hashirama blamed Tobirama for surviving, Madara really is going to break his nose. He takes a breath, trying to calm himself. He's overreacting, as Hashirama likely did. But still, Madara imagines his brother in Tobirama's place and just wants to hurt someone. No little brother should doubt their older brother's love. And despite his words, Tobirama clearly does. He wouldn't have come here if he didn't think it was the only way to redeem himself. Madara doesn't think of himself as a good man, but family is everything to him. Clearly, it's the same for Tobirama, but... With a flutter of wide golden wings, a hawk alights on the windowsill, drops something onto the wood, and vanishes in a puff of smoke. With a faint frown, Madara approaches the delivery, reaching out with his senses before he actually picks the thing up. It's a rock, and not even a pretty one. Plain, dull gray, with a few faint stripes of black across it. But it's perfectly round and smooth, almost flat. Perfect for skipping across a river, Madara thinks a little grimly, tightening his fist around it. Hashirama thinks of him as a friend, he knows, and clings to his dream of a world united. It's one of the reasons he hasn't killed Madara yet, because compared to Hashirama, Madara is still just as outmatched as he was when they were children. And though he rarely admits it aloud, Madara feels the same way. Hashirama understands in a way that no one else does, and regardless of their loyalties, that's never gone away. Their grief and determination drew them together, and now? Maybe Hashirama needs to be reminded of their reason for wanting peace in the first place, since it looks very much like he's forgotten. It's a good thing Madara feels more than up to the task.